Hey guys, welcome to season 9 of Interviews with the Hunting Masters podcast. I want to start off by saying thank you for all the reviews, the comments, and the questions that you guys send in. I do this to help others, and it means a lot to me that you're involved. And also, it helps me keep this podcast free and helps me keep this podcast at the top of the charts. With your help, I've been able to grow this podcast to one of the number one podcasts in big game hunting. I also want to give a big shout out to Sneak Tech Sneak Boots for being the number one sponsor of this podcast and helping me keep it free. So thank you, and let's roll into the next episode. So we're here at the Hunting and Conservation Expo in Utah, and I'm sitting with
all the hunting,
Matt
all
Davis.
The conservation.
Yep. All hunting, all the time, all conservation.
Yeah, buddy.
So I have you on. We're gonna do a little campfire session.
Okay.
Basically, if you could share with us like your most epic, your most memorable, craziest hunt.
Well, I guess the first thing that sticks out in my mind is probably my first mule deer kill with a recurve.
Okay.
I'd switched over to traditional the year before, and it was actually the year that I drew a limited entry tag, and that's a story for another time, because I wasn't successful. But switching over to the mule deer, I've always had a huge admiration for mule deer. Obviously, here in Utah, we get to hunt the extended, so we've got a very long season for people that want to hunt with the bow and arrow. And anyways, I guess for me, I'd been going out time after time after time after time after time, trying to fill this tag, and I wasn't very proficient with the recurve at that time. I mean, most guys are limited to 20 yards or so or whatever, right, like that, and I hadn't really dialed in my game. I guess I hadn't really fully committed to what I wanted to do with that. But anyways, I can still remember taking that deer, I mean, like as if it was yesterday. It was up on the Wasatch Front here above Salt Lake, and cruised into a spot that I was pretty familiar with. And saw a handful of deer, here's a spoiler. It's just a big 2-point, right? And I'll have to get you a picture so you can show. But as he comes up and he touches,
oh, that's cool,
like that.
Anyways, I love character bucks though.
Super super cool. And it was an older deer. I mean, he's just a perma 2. But anyways, yeah, I just remember first thing in the morning, I sat off this trail, and long story short, this deer works within 3 yards of me, and I shoot him. I'm sitting on my butt like this, right? Uh-huh. And he comes walking around, and he's just down from me, and I drew my bow like this, laying down, and I sat up and shot him right there. And anyways, it was nice. It was a very memorable moment for me. And for me personally, I think everybody hunts for different reasons, and what makes them feel successful as a hunter varies from hunter to hunter, definitely.
Agreed.
But for me, being able to kill something with my recurve, I don't care if I'm shooting 2 points the rest of my life or cow elk, like, it means a lot to me.
Right.
I mean, this past year, I hadn't hunted with a gun in 10 years. And this past year I went out and I had 3 different gun tags. And don't get me wrong, I had a blast. I enjoyed it, and I respect those animals 100%. But it was nowhere near
as
fulfilling. No way.
Doesn't feel the same.
Doesn't even touch it.
Yeah.
I was
I was in this, like, I don't know what to call it, state for a long time where I didn't want to kill anything with a rifle.
Yeah.
I just recently fell back in love with shooting a rifle again.
Right.
Because I hunt differently now. Like, it used to be like, oh, it's not that hard to get 400, 500 yards away from an animal,
Right.
So, like, I started hunting with a rifle like I would hunt them with a bow.
Right.
I mean, I may not be getting into the 50-yard
range,
but now I'll sneak into 100 yards or under 200 yards or whatever, but it's kind of like, it kind of changed it for me, and I enjoy it a lot more.
I'm the same way. People are always like, what's your favorite way to hunt? I'm like, I like hunting.
Yeah. Period.
Like, I like hunting. Before I'm a bow hunter, before I'm a gun hunter, before I'm an upland or a waterfowl or whatever, I'm a hunter, right?
Exactly.
That's who I am. That's how I'll self-identify. And I'll look for any excuse to get in the woods. I mean, I love, right now it's February, whatever today is. And here in Utah, I can hunt chuckers for another week.
Oh, wow.
And so I've got all these different things that I like to do, and I don't care if I've got a shotgun, a rifle, or a bow in my hand. I just want to be outside.
Yeah.
And that's me personally. There are people that they only want to hunt with the bow and they've graduated, and that's where they find the most, fulfillment. That's where they're the happiest, and good on them.
Yeah.
But I don't care.
I think a lot of that comes from, like, they fall in love with the challenge.
For sure.
And it's understandable, because that's part of it for us.
Exactly.
Too,
you know, we've all been there.
But I think the guys that think like you and I, that just kind of just want to be out hunting.
I just want to be outside.
You love everything.
Yep.
The birds, the bees, the wind, the smells.
Absolutely.
You know, the ups, the downs.
And I think another nice part about it is, you know, you were talking about changing the way you gun hunt now. It's more applicable to your bow hunting. I feel like I'm a more well-rounded hunter.
Yeah.
And by doing those other types of hunting, that amplifies my skill set as an outdoorsman, as a hunter, whatever. And so when I do that one particular thing, I feel like I'm more successful. I feel that by you know, including more variety in my hunter's diet, if you will, that when I go out and do specific things now, when I bow hunt, I feel like I'm a better bow hunter. When I gun hunt, I feel like I'm a better gun hunter. Yeah. It's like, it's just being outside. You don't get better at hunting if you're not hunting. That's exactly. Just what it is. So
I mean, you can learn things from your house. You can listen to podcasts. You can watch TV,
right.
You know, shows, read books, whatever. But in the end, it's the experiences that make you.
Hands down. And that's what keeps you going back out for more.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
I have yet to kill a deer with my trad bow, but I've only tried once or twice. And
right.
I've been shooting trad since I was a kid.
Right.
And I build bows and everything, but I'm like,
I still have that PVC bow you sent me, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
I still have that, dude.
Yeah? Have you shot it much?
Only a little bit, but I still have it.
Okay. So, like, besides the PVC bow, I build wood bows.
No, for sure.
And
you said that, and I was like, oh, yeah, I have that.
I got a really nice bamboo bow that I built, and I swore up and down. I said, all right, this year I'm going to take it out. I'm going to take it in New York, so New York, it'll be a tree stand hunt. I know I can control the environment.
Correct.
I know it's going to be like a 20, 25-yard shot max,
yep.
You know?
Very controlled environment.
Right. So I'm like, oh, I could do it there. But I end up talking myself out of it again last year.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this year I got to practice. And I'm going to get good at it, and I'm going to do it. I mean, at 20 yards in my backyard, I can freaking
proficient. Oh, yeah. All day.
And I killed a javelina with it in 2017, and I killed a hog with it, like, I don't know, 5 years prior. But that's the only two big animals that, other than rabbits and shit like that.
Oh, yeah.
I have two goals. I want to get one. I want to get a coyote with my recurve.
That'd be a heck of an accomplishment.
So, I'm pretty sure I can't do it with the longbow, because the longbow has to be standing.
Yeah.
But I got a really short bear bow that's probably like, I don't know, I think it's which one it's called. I think it's a Magnum 44.
Yeah.
I could shoot that sitting.
Oh, yeah.
So if I could shoot sitting, I could kill a coyote. Because that's how I kill all the coyotes with my compound.
Right.
So I think I'm going to try, give that a try, because I'm starting the beginning of March. I'll be coyote hunting.
Yeah, dogs 24/7. Yeah. Do it, man.
So, I'm definitely going to try. I'll probably miss a shit ton, but we'll see what happens.
Like, yeah.
So what's that hunt that sticks out in your mind that, let's say, kind of changed the way you hunt, or maybe you learned something and you're not like, I don't know, you had an aha moment about something. I don't know.
Man, well, it's probably that elk hunt I talked about. You know, for me, you were talking about it, you know, it's, you shoot traditional, but you've got your compound and it's hard to really stick to your guns, right? Like, I knew it had to be black and white, and I'm like, I'm just going to stick to it. Like, I know I hung tree stands. I had a bunch of different opportunities and different things I wanted to do, but I wanted to hunt this limited entry tag with my recurve. And so that's what I set out to do. And there was one particular encounter where it was just, it should have been lights out. And at the end of the day, I probably could have shot and killed that bull. But the biggest lesson, that big aha moment I had, was I made a really smart mental decision. Like, and that might not sound like a huge accomplishment, but I made a mental decision in a stressful situation.
Right.
And so now when I'm hunting, and then let me explain where I'm going with this. It's, you get in those moments when you're making a shot, or you see guys that just punch the trigger, or they jerk, or they do all these different things. It's because they don't have a mental game. They haven't made that decision prior to that, having that experience. And I hadn't had to do that at any point, right? It's like, I'd been successful with the compound, but it was always like, man, I'd shoot and I don't even know what just happened, but my arrow hit the animal and I killed it, and that was great. Right. But I didn't remember that. And now when I shoot animals. I mean, I hunt with my recurve and I shoot a clicker on my bow, but I don't let that arrow go until that clicker goes off. And I've watched every single one of my arrows go through every single animal, and that has amplified my experience and my satisfaction and everything. So that failure, or failure because I didn't kill the elk, but the success of learning to make the right decision in the right moment in a stressful situation has helped me substantially further on down the road in hunting animals, because I mean it's stressful, and I think a lot of people don't know how to control that. They get in that situation, it's like, oh my gosh, it's gonna happen, oh my gosh, here's my one chance this season, I finally got an arrow on the string, here comes this deer, here comes this bull, whatever, and then crap hits the fan and they fall apart because they've never been there, right? And they don't make a mental decision, they black out, right? And I've been there, and now I hope it doesn't sound arrogant, but I don't black out anymore.
Right.
I feel like I'm very in control of what's happening in that situation, so that's been great for me. Yeah. It was a great learning experience.
No, I get it, because like one of the things that is gonna sound like really conceited, but like
no.
Like I've been told several times, because I'm okay at target shooting. I can hold my own. I shoot 10. I can shoot 10s, but I'm not a 12 ringer. You know? But I've had like a couple of guys that work for me, like guides and stuff that work for me. They're like, you know, if we had, because they're all better shots than I am, they could fucking outshoot me any day.
Yeah.
But
on the bales, right?
Yeah, exactly. They're like, if we were in camp and there was only one bow and one arrow, and we were stranded out here and we needed food, you would be the guy we'd give it to.
Yeah.
Because when it comes to fur,
you're the guy that makes it happen.
I forget about the headgear. I forget about everything. I'm just. And I mean, I don't always make the greatest shot, but
killing them,
I kill them.
It's being there and having that confidence. And I, in my opinion, you know, there's so many people like, oh, that guy's super cocky, or that guy, he's so full of himself. He just, I kill everything I shoot at. No, that's like, that's a mental decision, and that's not a knock on anybody else. It's just saying, hey, like, going into this situation, and I'm a big believer in visualization, right? You learn it from your high school football days where your coach is going home, visualize catching the ball, visualize making the tackle, all these different things, right? It's like, I visualize, you know, it's the night before, and I know the situation I'm gonna be in, I know where I'm gonna be in the morning, and in my mind, I've watched this movie of this elk coming out, or this elk coming to me, or this deer coming under my stand, and then when it happens, I'm like, oh yeah, I know exactly how this ends, because I already made that shot. I already made that shot here. And I don't think that's an arrogant thing. I don't think that's a cocky thing. I think that's just a mental, being mentally strong and having that kind of iron mind mentality. Yeah. So
I almost think, to a point, you got to be cocky or whatever, because it's
you got to
really
carry your own.
It's really confidence.
Right.
Because
look at LeBron James.
If you don't
can't
believe
Bryant,
that
look at
you
these guys.
Can do it,
yeah,
it ain't gonna happen.
Look at these professional athletes, right? They don't doubt themselves at all, and that's why they're the best at what they do, because they believe in themselves. Yeah. If that's the most positive way to say that it doesn't come across as being conceited, you believe in yourself.
Right.
So, and I think that's very powerful.
Anytime you draw back and you're hoping to hit, you're gonna miss.
Yep.
If that arrow has left your bow and you're set to yourself, oh my God, I hope it hits. Like. You know, you're either going to make a bad shot or you're
going
to miss.
That bow's not even coming back unless I am 100% sure that I'm going to hit the exact spot I'm aiming at. Yeah. And I've passed shots because of that. I've had that doubt. It's like, man, I don't know if I can make that shot. I'm not going to draw my bow.
You're a better man than me. with the recurve, so hunting javelina last year, I drew back several times. And I was close. I mean, from here to, you know, five yards.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, it's just not the right angle. Oh, it's just not the right angle. And my buddy Shane that was with me, he was talking to me in on the radio. He's like, dude, are you going to shoot this thing? Like, he saw me draw back like five times. But like, it wasn't because I hadn't been there enough times.
Right.
Now with the compound, I would have made that Lights shot out. 90 yards away and
Lights out.
Not even thought about it. You know, but.
It's being there. It's believing. It's being there. And it's being comfortable. And I think that's the most important thing. I think those animals, in my opinion, animals deserve your very best.
Yeah.
And if you're not confident in that shot, if you're not confident in your equipment, man, shame on you, in my opinion. And I hope that doesn't come across wrong. But, man,
No.
You've got to have a certain level of respect.
To them.
Yeah, you owe it to them. You're taking something's life. That's, I mean, people will probably think I'm a softy for saying it, but that's a serious freaking thing.
It's
huge. So serious.
And if you don't have reverence, if you're just like, you know.
Oh, I'm just out here to shoot something. I've always created the analogy that, you know, your will to kill something needs to be stronger than that animal's will to survive.
Right.
And that's a big freaking deal.
Oh, it
that's
is.
That's a big
Absolutely.
Deal. So, oh, yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, you just create that confidence. And if you're not confident, go practice, become better, become confident.
Yeah.
Don't be arrogant. Don't be whatever, but believe in yourself. Legitimately know that when you're making those decisions, when you're making those shots or whatever, that you're doing the very best you can, and things usually work out in your favor because of it.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. Well, awesome, man. Thanks for taking
Appreciate
the time.
It, John. Thank you so much, dude. Yeah, thanks for
absolutely.
Having me on.
Hey, guys. If you like the podcast, if you like listening to what I do and like listening to the guests that I have on and the information that they give you, I urge you to go leave a review on iTunes. It helps me keep the podcast free and it helps me grow the podcast.